Okay, hi there guys, my name's Owen.
My name's Max.
And for this podcast, which we put together, we've decided to call ourselves The Occultists. This is basically a podcast for anybody that is religiously fanatic about specific movies. And the cult, there is a kind of wide definition of cult movies, but we're just talking about movies that we love. That's why we're doing this podcast.
I think we were discussing earlier about what cult movies are, and I think it is a really loose term, and we're not going to be real strict about it, but essentially we're really talking about films that other people hadn't heard of, that we wished people had seen, that we wanted to talk about, or you know, movies that you had to sort of find out and explore and discover on your own, perhaps.
Potentially underground films that not many people at large, but potentially, if you're a kind of nerd, you will have heard about a lot of the movies that we're going to be talking about. Some you won't, some you will. We'd like you to get in touch with us if you have any suggestions of movies. Because that's one of the big reasons that we're doing this podcast, is to find out what is the definition of a cult film and kind of learn as much as we can together about kind of what that means. Because we don't necessarily know. We just want to talk about movies that we're really into.
Yeah, and I think it's we just want to share our opinions and see if people agree with us, or if they don't, that's okay too.
And if you send us hate mail, that's cool too. That would be welcomed. It'll all go to Max, obviously.
Well, and I... but no, and I think... and as well, you know, yeah, we're really open to other films that maybe we haven't seen before, and I know Owen is so tired of watching all the films that I make him endure.
Some of them are pretty crappy.
Yes.
I choose crappy movies. That's a really big point to make as well. All of these opinions are going to be subjective. They don't represent anyone but myself and Max, kind of personally. I have differing views to him on some movies. He hates some of my movies. And we cross over and we love some movies kind of together.
And we forget this a lot, that feelings aren't facts. That if we hate a film that the other person loves, it doesn't mean that film is shit. It just means that it's not working for us. So if we hate a movie that you love out there, you know, tell us why you love it and stuff, you know.
Yeah, that'd be really good.
Convince us.
Mm-hmm. Each time we do this podcast, we're going to kind of be trying to do it as and when we kind of get round to it. But we're always going to have a specific theme of movies that we will be talking about. And we'll always choose a double bill. Max will choose a movie, I'll choose a movie. And we're going to be kind of bringing, sometimes we'll have both seen the movie previously, sometimes we'll be watching it kind of for the first time when the person kind of brings it to us, but we will always have kind of a double bill, so you can watch both movies before we do kind of the next podcast and know what we're talking about, because that's always more fun, I think, if people have seen or know the kind of movies we're slagging off or really enjoying.
Yeah. And please, like, we'll post on the blog which films are coming next, but please email us and tell us what you think about these films and whether you like them or not, and like we said before, give us suggestions for anything else that you love that we maybe haven't seen yet.
Sounds good. All right, we're going to talk about we could talk about this for hours, but the definition of what is a cult film, because we'll be talking about kind of the shit that we're really into, the weird kind of stuff that we've kind of found, books, movies, music. I'm a huge comic book fan, as everyone knows, so I'll be talking about comics. We'll touch on kind of anything that you're into that specific week, but primarily this is a podcast about cult movies, essentially, and that's going to be the kind of the main kind of driving focus of it, right?
So what is a cult film? Because we were talking about this earlier, and we couldn't really reach
that's,
a definition.
That's Max's code for saying we argued for about 3 hours.
Yes.
And ended up throwing stuff at each other. Because we couldn't agree. And everyone has their own specific definition of this. Should we have some examples that we were talking about?
Well, I think I was saying that I had always assumed that cult films were particular movies that hadn't performed very well at the box office or hadn't been received very well critically, and yet had still gained a huge following of people. But there are lots of examples of that where that's not the case. So things like Lord of the Rings, I think, is a good example where that inspires a huge amount of sort of fanaticism in people. but it was huge, it's everywhere, it's a mainstream film, and yet it still kind of is a cult film. And then we started arguing about whether anything genre was cult, anything that's science fiction or horror is sort of immediately cult, although I'm not sure it should be. I don't know.
There are other factors kind of governing things as well, like the time frame, the time period that things were made in. Also things like, we were talking about things like Scott Pilgrim, really briefly, because that's potentially a cult film now, but it's quite new, it's quite modern. It's become cult relatively quickly after it's released.
Yeah.
Whereas most cult films will find that, like, kind of build up over kind of years. But Scott Pilgrim kind of essentially flopped at the box office, and through DVD sales and kind of huge following, it became like an sort of indie surprise hit. And I think that was due to kind of the way it was made. So there's so many different factors kind of at play here.
I suppose what we're trying to say is that by doing this podcast, we hope to understand what cult is and what that means, and what that means for us and how we feel about that, I suppose.
Because we don't want to put any kind of strict boundaries and definitions on the movies we're going to talk about, because there's kind of so many different subsections and things like that out there. And we don't want to kind of put... We just want to talk about the movies we're really, really into, essentially, at a specific time. And something we both feel really, really passionate about is not having boundaries between quote-unquote pop art and high art, art house movies and blockbusters, and those kind of things.
I think it depends a lot on the intent of the filmmaker, perhaps, but I do agree with that statement that there should be no limitations to what art is and what it can be and what it can do. And I think it's too sort of quickly made in the media and by other people. But I think there shouldn't be a definition. I think all art should be together. And there are huge amounts of sort of, you know, shitty films that I love and that have inspired me and mean a great deal to me. And there are lots of films that are very arty and beautiful that don't really do much for me. So
it depends on mood, essentially, as well. I mean, you could be... Movies are kind of caught up in kind of memory for me, and how you kind of feel at the specific time will affect your experience, who you see them with. Yes. It's kind of completely different. Mm. And there's times when, you know, as we've kind of talked about previously, there's times when you're in the mood for a big popcorn, you know, fun movie. And there's equally times when you kind of want to get serious and a bit existential and you put on the art house flicks and things like that. So, you know, how you feel at a specific time is really, really important to your viewing experience.
Well, I agree. It's like there was this Bjork quote where she said something like, she's told constantly that eating a steak and foie gras is good to eat and a banana is stupid to eat, you know, and it's just time or mood, like you say, or any of those things. So I don't really think there should be.
Sometimes we will twin on this podcast really well respected kind of zeitgeist movies or movies that really made a huge impact that we kind of know everyone is going to like or are reputedly critical darlings. And there's other times when we're going to talk about complete trash, offensive, you know. We're equally happy twinning Cannibal Holocaust with The Godfather and Citizen Kane.
Absolutely.
Depending on, you know, how we feel that week.
And also very difficult, you know, art house movies that I seem to love and no one else does. Yeah. So,
because there's a time and a place. So that's what we're going to do, or try to do in this podcast.
Well, this leads us on to the conversation about really what we're looking for as viewers. Like, what are you, when you go and see a film, what...
Me, personally.
Yeah, what are you looking for?
Like I say, I look for kind of completely different things. I come from originally, and this is, I think, a lot of your movie tastes, or tastes in general about what kind of art you consume, are really informed by kind of childhood. And I was from childhood a lot of the time. And from a very early age, I was a kind of Steven Spielberg boy. And kind of grew up watching a lot of 80s kind of blockbusters, and Hollywood movies, and, you know, Star Wars, Jaws, Raiders of the Lost Ark, those kind of things is how I kind of got going, essentially. And now that is kind of extrapolated out into, I really enjoy like New Hollywood. Like I had a phase that I was really into Terrence Malick, Francis Ford Coppola, people like that. But essentially I came from originally, like, I love the art of the blockbuster, but genuinely American filmmaking is a large percentage of what I've seen.
Right.
I have seen some outside, but my I don't have a huge collection of movies that aren't within kind of English, American, those kind of things. But you're far more into kind of world cinema, things
well,
like that.
Well, I think so. What you were saying about childhood is relevant and true. As a child, I had a very, as you know, I had a very corrosive grandmother who would show me lots of horror films when she was supposed to be babysitting, and I would be horrified and wouldn't sleep for weeks, and my parents were always terribly distraught. But
because the best movies are the forbidden ones sometimes.
Absolutely, you know? And I was never allowed to watch them. And then when I was a teenager, I had a TV in my room, and I watched, you know, Carrie and those things really late
Stayed
at night.
Late, yeah,
when I shouldn't have done. And that's where I began to love Vincent Price and those things too. So really, I think horror is at the core of my taste, and I think a lot of things come from that feeling which I get from horror films.
Okay. Which is?
Well, for me, I think everyone, whether it's films or books, any consumer of art, is just looking for meaning. And for me, that doesn't come from realism or naturalism. For me, I suppose because the meaning I'm looking for is meaning about the inner world, the imagination, the inner life, you know?
Yeah.
So for me, those films that aren't naturalistic say much, in my head, say much more about that. So using things like dream logic and non-linear storytelling, to me, makes a huge deal of sense, you know?
Sure.
It's, in the same way that reading, you know, Freud and those those things about dreams and stuff sort of make sense to me. And watching films about dysfunctional families at Christmas dinner don't really do much for me, personally, I think.
That was pretty in-depth. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, well,
I like explosions and punching people. No,
but that's good too. You know?
Well, I mean, because I think from what I have gathered, I'm looking for something, you know, bigger. I love escapism in all of its forms, and the artist and the audience, and kind of reclaiming that, because I think blockbuster movies have got such a bad rap in recent years, and Hollywood in general.
Well, I think there's a good reason for
that. Oh, yeah, I agree. For me, Hollywood films and blockbuster films are part of my love of pop art, and that I believe that pop art can be incredibly powerful and can be a force for good rather than Michael Bay's force for evil, essentially. So I think blockbusters... I'm of Mark Kermode. Mark Kermode is a guy that we kind of have both listened to, and I really, really like. And you like him too, some of his opinions. He's not always right, but... I really like his idea that blockbusters can and should be better. And I kind of agree with that myself.
Well, I don't think it's so much a problem of the form or the genre, if it is one, of the blockbuster. I think it's more a product of the time. Like, I think if you go back 10 years, the blockbusters that we had were, in my opinion, of a much higher quality than they are now.
Yeah.
And it seems... And that has a lot to do with audience and mass consumerism and all that stuff. But I think... yeah, a lot of modern blockbuster films sort of leave me a bit cold. It's all just explosions.
I would
not
agree.
Really any meaning.
For sure.
But...
I think you're right. I only really learned this recently, kind of where the term blockbuster came from. And I'm not going to throw out the boring trivia about kind of where the term kind of comes from. But it was kind of coined roughly kind of in the 80s.
Right.
Jaws is thought of to be the first kind of blockbuster. And kind of all of Spielberg's movies after that. And obviously George Lucas came along and was doing things like Star Wars. And that's when the heyday of the kind of blockbuster happened. And I think things have moved kind of down the road kind of since then. But, I mean, what kind of term is kind of blockbuster anyway? Because you had huge movies way, way, way back when, even kind of as far as kind of the dawn of cinema. Like, some of your favourite movies were thought of as kind of blockbusters of their day just because they were that popular. Not necessarily because they had big special effects budgets, which is what a modern blockbuster is thought of as having.
Well, a lot of the movies that I loved that's not true. I mean, All About Eve, yes, but most of the other Bette, I'm a massive Bette Davis fan, for anyone who doesn't know me personally, but really, a lot of the other films she was in, you know, didn't get a huge amount of acclaim, and that goes for Katharine Hepburn, all of those big movies. You know, they're only sort of big now, they weren't at the time. I don't think there's a problem with the blockbuster, and I think it's like a good pop song. I think you're looking at something that is massively accessible and reaches a huge amount of people, and I think there's a lot of power in that. And I can think of a huge many blockbusters that I love. I mean, things like Alien, I think, are, you know, incredible, artful movies that I don't think have the respect they deserve, really.
Sure. I mean, Alien is a cult movie, essentially.
I think it is,
probably just because, for most of it, because of its trappings, because sci-fi, for some reason, is thought of as inherently cult.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think Ridley Scott is a great pop artist. I mean, you look at something like Thelma and Louise. I mean, that's not particularly thought of as a cult movie.
I would argue that it's not. I don't know why. Yeah.
But it has a huge following. It's kind of Ridley, I think, at his best as the great pop artist, because it's sort of a mythic Americana. For me, anyway. And it's just a movie about two kind of two friends. I mean, it's not really cult, but
again,
it feels cult.
We had an argument about this earlier, and I still maintain there's some truth in it, although Owen disagrees. But I do think that there has to be some level of camp in cult movies.
I don't know.
Stay with
agree.
Me on this. I think, I don't know if it's because they're larger than life, they're these stories that are universal in that way, they're sort of mythical or archetypal, like you said, the mythic America.
Mm-hmm.
And Thelma and Louise is, I mean, it's a gay movie, let's face it. And I think, and that's okay.
Well, no, I think it got a really, really bad rap as this kind of feminist kind of man-hating movie, which I don't think is necessarily entirely true.
No, I don't think so either.
I think, you know, obviously the main characters are incredibly strong women, but I don't think it is inherently, you know, we hate all men. In the movie, they don't hate all men because Michael Madsen's character is a man. He's a really great, great character.
He is.
The men in the movie that are dicks get their comeuppance.
But you can't, you know, you cannot argue with me that it's not a camp film.
No.
I mean, a huge part of
the
it is
the soundtrack's pretty camp.
You know, waving their scarves at the window and screaming and isn't that fun and we're free. And I think that's great. You know, hello, I have no problem with being camp. And I think that's a, I think I'm a big advocate of stories, like I said earlier, that aren't naturalistic, that are bigger than life. And I think that a fiction that is removed from reality can still say a huge amount about reality.
Oh, 100% agree, yeah. I agree.
I suppose,
a lot of the time.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, to be fair, at our hearts, we are both sort of fantasists, I think.
I mean, we cross over on so many kind of specific movies that, I mean, this is something that needs to be talked about in regards to cult as well, in that a lot of the time it unifies niche groups, essentially. And you'll find people that have a very specific kind of demographic, be that, you know, punks or goths, or, you know, it always is an underground subculture kind of thing, which is inherently tied in kind of with cult.
And I think there's this level of shame involved too, like they are things which are sort of hidden or secretive or lowbrow, like you say. They are, you know, like I was saying about horror films, you hide them away from your parents, you don't want them to know that you're watching them because they have a reputation. And I hope with this podcast that we're able to
equally hugely controversial films like the Video Nasties,
definitely, but like I hope that we can break that down so that anyone listening who hasn't seen these movies can, you know, not feel that
exactly,
because they shouldn't.
Good idea.
I think. What are some of your favourite movies?
Some of my favourite movies, I can't kind of spoil too much because one of my favourite movies is kind of coming up in a later podcast.
Okay.
I was really into Raiders of the Lost Ark. It's kind of one of my favourite movies of all time. I'm sure it'll come in somewhere down the line, but that's the one kind of I always go to, and I could just find it intensely watchable. If it's on TV in kind of the afternoon, I will just kind of watch it all the way through.
Raiders is a notorious point of contention between the two of us, because yes. I am a firm believer that Temple is superior. I think Raiders is a better film.
You want to talk camp movies, you need to put Temple of Doom in there.
I do think Raiders is better. I just like Temple more.
Yeah. All three movies are really, really great. And we discuss them at length. You know, we go through them over
we
and over
do,
again.
We do.
And we all disagree, but Raiders kind of, you know, is
I think if you don't know us personally and you need to know anything about us, mm-hmm. Owen is Raiders and I'm Temple. That probably tells
perfect.
You everything you need
That's
to know.
That's our characters right there. And we talked about horror movies really briefly. I really love one of my favourite movies that I watched. Actually, my first crush in life was Elsa Lanchester as the Bride in Bride of Frankenstein, James Whale's movie. I really enjoy Frankenstein, the original, but there's something about Bride of Frankenstein that pushes it right up there. It's my favourite horror movie. I absolutely love it. It's like a dream. You'll watch it and then you'll kind of fall asleep and the next day you'll think, did that happen?
Mm-hmm.
Did that really happen? And the movie kind of shifts and scenes go in different places in your memory. It's a really strange movie.
No, it always
happens. Absolutely love it.
Dr. Pretorius, is that his
name?
Yes,
Dr. His Pretorius.
The little guys in the jars. Yeah, I always think
that. The mermaid and the king.
Yeah. I always think that was imaginary.
Incredible. So there's some of my highlights. I mean, there's tons of other movies that I can't even think of right now. But Max, go for it. Your favorite movies.
Really, it's things like Suspiria, Dario Argento, of course. I love a lot of, like I said, Bette Davis films. So things like All About Eve and Now Voyager, I think, are beautiful and fantastic. Anything by Lars von Trier, I think is really powerful. I love
all the movies that I'm scared to watch.
Yeah, no. I love La Belle and La Bête,
yes,
Cocteau.
Fantastic.
That's some of them. That's the kind of thing I'm into. I'm really into magic realism and expressionism. Anything non-naturalistic really is where I'm at.
And we kind of share things like, this is what this kind of podcast is about, but we've been doing this for a while where, me and Max, basically, we met in college and we kind of started talking and we were writing and things like that and we became friends. And so we would kind of share writing.
After a long time, we did not like each other at all at first.
No, we really didn't. We didn't get on. But we started sharing things like comics, like The Sandman.
Yeah.
And things like that. And then we kind of started talking about movies and we write things together. We've been in similar kind of comic things. We haven't actually said what we do yet. We should probably
have said that way
earlier.
Hey.
I write comic books, essentially, but I write kind of other things as well, but I'm primarily kind of a comic book writer. I'm working on some graphic novels and things.
Mm-hmm.
And Max?
Well, I'm primarily a prose writer. I've been attempting to write a novel for about a million years now, but that's really what I do with my time and where I want to be. So.
Yeah. And we all have kind of different tastes and things like that, but we're just huge nerds.
Yeah,
let's be
honest. I think it's good to argue about these films and discuss them and disagree with them.
Sure.
And I think that's all good.
Mm-hmm. I think so too.
To develop a critical eye, whether you're a writer or even if you just love films, I think it's important to have that.
And kind of talk about, like, we just enjoy talking about kind of really thinking about movies in a way that is above, oh, that was really great. Which is equally good too.
No,
but we like to kind of talk about kind of what works for us. But really thinking about the craft of, you know, writing, filmmaking, anything like that. Why is it working for you? You know, what
well,
are the
like
people
what,
involved?
Alan
done?
Moore was saying in that book that you gave me. What was it?
Right to write
graphic novels. Yeah.
Yeah.
About how people are conditioned to be afraid of asking themselves those questions.
Mm-hmm.
So we're sort of taught from a young age not to ask ourselves, okay, this is scary, but why are we scared?
Yeah.
Why do we feel this way?
Mm-hmm.
So it's okay to come out of a film and say, yeah, that was great, but what is it that made you feel that way?
Mm-hmm.
What was it that you were connected to the entire way through?
Yeah.
I think that's important to know.
I think it really is. And coming out of a movie and thinking, you know, oh, I'm shaking, like I'm really thrilled. Why is that? Why have they done that with pictures moving in front of a light? How is that possible? Why do I feel that way? What choices have they made? Equally, you come out of a film and you think, I'm really uncomfortable, I couldn't watch that, for good or ill. Equally, you have different experiences where you'll hate a movie at first and then you'll come out and you let it settle and months later you go, I cannot stop thinking about that. That's made me think about, you know, anything.
And that's what it's all about, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think
so. Okay, so that's kind of our mission statement. That's kind of what we're going to do. I'm sure this has been a terribly rough and chatty kind of podcast.
Wait, we should probably talk about the next podcast.
Yes.
And so they know what films we're watching.
That's correct. You need to watch these movies. Okay. So the movies we're going to kind of do next week are based on the theme of doomed romance. Okay. So the two movies that we're going to be choosing, I'm going to be going for Heathers, which is the reason I couldn't say it earlier, because it's one of my favorite movies, and that's kind of the first one I'm going to be out of the gate with. Christian Slater, Winona Ryder. I don't know if you can get hold of it or you can watch it online legally, of course. But it's 1988.
Yes,
I believe. I'm really glad I got that right. But check that out. It's absolutely fantastic. Max,
my choice, slightly controversial. Owen hasn't seen it yet, which I'm really nervous about because I don't know how he's going to react. But my choice is
if I'm not on this podcast next week, then you'll know why.
No, my choice is Medea by Pier Paolo Pasolini. It's got Maria Callas in it in her only acting role. I think it was from about 1969. I think.
Yes.
1969. It's in Italian.
Summer above.
But it is really hard to get hold of in this country, in the UK. I think. It's only available on like a Blu-ray double disc. I'm sure it's online.
I
don't know.
That shit.
I have it, so you can borrow mine. But it is online, and I'm sure you can get it in America. Hopefully, yep. You should. It's a crime if you can't. But
you
it's,
damn American.
If you haven't seen it, it is so so beautiful and powerful and mm-hmm. just awful. And I can't wait to talk about it.
Marvelous. Please come back.
Please.
Please. All right. Take it easy. We have been the occultists.
Yes.
Hopefully we'll see you for more culty goodness next week. Adios.
Bye.